Well, before we started, we checked the batteries. Jake said I had about 4.5 to 5 hours, so you guys buckle up and get ready. Might need to break the coffee rule if we're going there, right? Once upon a time, there was a guy, and he was a driver for this famous speaker, and this guy would go around, and he would make the same speech everywhere, and the driver one night said, "I think I can deliver that speech as well as you." And the guy said, "Well, you think you can? Well, we'll just stop over here on this rest area, and we'll change clothes. I'll drive and let you make that speech." He got up. He delivered the speech. And then at the end, there was question time. And one of these guys stands up, and he asks a question about the subject, and it was so hard. He said, "You know what? That question's so easy, brother. I'm just going to let my chauffeur answer it." So tonight, I thought about, if you got any hard questions, I'm just going to let Pastor Doc answer them. I want to share with you something that throughout my life has been a moment that, or something that God has just worked with me on over and over. And there's been seasons where it's been clear. There's been seasons where it's been muddy. Once I broach this topic, I think you'll understand. But it's about hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. And we're going to talk about the scripture that says, "His sheep hear His voice." That's what Jesus said. He said, "You don't understand," to the Pharisees. He said, "You don't believe because you're not my sheep." So in order to hear His voice, first of all, we have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we have to be a follower of Christ. When I was a child, I accepted Christ at about 7 years of age. I was raised in a Baptist church all my life. It didn't matter if it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It didn't matter if we were meeting 7 nights a week. We were there. My mom was an avid follower of Christ, and she believed in taking us to church, even when I had a father that did not. And I sometimes ask her, "Well, why do I have to go? If Dad don't have to go, it's because I said so." So, you know, there you go. There's some good "because I said so's" as a child. Some of those things are just because that's the way it is. That's the way we're going to do it. But as I grew up, I learned and developed a hunger for the Word. And as I began to get into the Word, I began to hear God speak. I used to carry on conversations, and I thought that was normal. I mean, as a child, you read the story about Samuel, and he told Samuel to go back and say, "Lord, your servant's here, speak." I just do that. I mean, I lay in the bed and I say, "Lord, I'm here. I'm listening. What are you saying?" I'd read the Word and I'd say, "Lord, I'm listening. What are you saying?" I just thought that's the way you're supposed to do it. I didn't know that in Baptist circles particularly, that was very abnormal. So I began to tell some people, I think God's saying this, or I think God's saying that. "Well, where are you getting that from?" I said, "Well, that's what I feel like the Lord's saying." And it, some kind of quelched it, some kind of encouraged it. But, you know, I didn't understand that that was abnormal. My relationship with the Lord was pretty precious up until I was about 15 or 16. And then I quit hearing the Lord. Because I quit listening. He didn't quit speaking. I quit listening. Because I decided that I had a chosen course of life. That I wanted to run with the crowd. I wanted to be like everyone else. And there come a crisis time in my life where I realized, I don't even know who I am. I dress like that guy. I talk like that guy. I act like that guy. But I don't even know who I am. And that began a crisis time of, "God, who am I?" And once again, I began to hear the voice of the Lord speak. But it was through that time that He began to deal with my heart and what He wanted from me. And so I once again said, "I don't think so, Lord." So throughout my life growing up, I just knew that God spoke. I knew that if we listened, we could hear His voice. So at about the age of 19, as I went through the wrestlings with God and plead and begged with God, God, I'll do anything, but this is what I want to do. I'll do anything for you, but this is what I want my future to be. I'll do anything for you, God, but through those times of laying on my pillow and crying my eyes out and going, God, I am so miserable. I am so unhappy. And I was, quote unquote, a pretty good kid. By the world standards, I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't doing alcohol. All that testimony that you hear from some people, and I'm glad they've got that testimony that God's brought them out of such darkness. You know, one day I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't have a testimony. And God said, it just took just as much of the blood of Jesus for your self-righteousness as it did for them. And it transformed my testimony. Because I realized, to those whom love much, what's the rest of that scripture? Come on, say it loud. Yep. So those who love much, forgives much, and therefore they can love much. So I've been forgiven of much, because sin is sin. But as I surrendered to the call of the ministry, and I knew right away, because God spoke to me and he said, this is where I want you to go to school. It was a Baptist Bible school. I didn't know anything about it, but I saw somewhere along the way, I looked it up or whatever, and I said, that's where I'm going. Mom said, well, don't you want to go down there and see it? I said, we can go see it, but that's where I'm going. That's where God told me I was going. That's where I went, down in Chipley, Florida. I'm so smart, it took me 5 years to get a four-year degree. I'm a quick learner. Felt like a lot of my time with the Lord's been like that. I'm slow, Lord. I'm slow. Help me. But during that time, I was focused on the Lord, and I didn't want any distractions. I was just seeking after God with everything and getting everything I could get, except for English. I didn't really want to go to that class, but I did anyway. And somebody introduced me to a young lady. And I thought, well, Lord, this sounds good. Sounds like it might be you. We went out on a date, and I thought, well, Lord, she seems like the perfect candidate. She seems like everything's just like you. You know, maybe it's me. But I sat in my bed that night, and I said, Lord, I don't want this if you don't want it. I prayed my way to the point that I could absolutely say that with conviction. If this is not you, show me now. I don't have time to waste. I called her that night or the next night. And she said, you know what? I don't want to break your heart, but I'm getting back with my old boyfriend. I said, thank you, Jesus. And she said, what? I said, you don't understand. Last night I was praying and laying on my bed, wrestling with whether this was God or whether it wasn't God. And I felt a peace come over me that God said he was going to answer. And she said, I wish I could hear God like that. And I said, you can, but you got to come to a place where you're okay with the yes and you're okay with the no. You got to come to the place where God's first in your life. And God had something even better. This lady sitting over here that's my wife. So, you don't often know what's good and what's not. But one of the ways we hear the voice of the Lord is through the written word. One of the ways that I always look back on those times in my life, and I realized that when I was in the Word, God was speaking through his word, but he was also speaking in other ways because I had laid a platform for him to speak on. I had been seeking him, and therefore he said, those who seek me, find me. John says it this way, or John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to tell you something tonight, saints, and you probably know this, but we often need reminded. The Word of God in written form is one of the most precious gifts that the Lord has ever gave us. Do you know the price that's been paid through the centuries, that's been paved with martyrs' blood for you to have the Word in your hands tonight in a way and written in a way that you can understand it in your everyday language? It's not in Latin. You don't have to be some smart guy to be able to understand the Word of God in the language that you understand. Throughout the world, it's the most sold book throughout the whole world. There's been a price paid for that because the Father wanted it in your hands. That was one of the messages that Jesus came to the people to bring them, was, look, I'm not here for the kings, and I'm not here for just the intelligent ones. I'm not here for your scholars. I'm here for the shepherds. I'm here for the innkeeper. I'm here for those who the world calls common, because I made them in my image and likeness, and there's nothing common about them. So through this word, as you open it up and as you study it, it's a gift. And that gift oftentimes is veiled. As you open it up and you read a passage of Scripture, there's a couple of things that happen. Sometimes I read a passage and I go, okay, I know that passage. Any of you guilty? But sometimes I read that passage and all of a sudden I see something I've never seen before. I've read this passage 100 times, 1,000 times, studied this passage in Bible college. Well, how can it have something in there that I've never seen before? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit, bringing life out of the living, written Word of God that represents Jesus Christ. The embodiment of who He was has been put in this book. There are things hidden in there that you will only find as you seek and search. There's things hidden in there. I'm going through Romans right now, and I'm trying a new technique of coloring my Bible like a kid, just taking highlighters and things I think are fit a certain scheme, and I've never done this before, so I'm practicing, and I'm like, okay, God, I see this, but what do you say? What do you say? I understand what I've been taught. I understand what I was taught in Bible college on the book of Romans by a guy who was very scholarly and very adept at dividing the Word of God in the Greek. But Lord, where's the life that you want to speak and bring out of it and impart to my life to make me more like you? As we dive into the Word and open it up, we need to invite the Holy Spirit each and every time to say, Holy Spirit, this morning I don't just want to, as one of the song sings, forgive me for singing another song. Forgive me, Lord, for just reading another psalm. Forgive me for just reading another passage to get through my checkbox today. Lord, what do you have to say to me this morning in the Word? You'll be amazed at how the Scripture begins to open up to you. You'll be amazed at how God begins to speak to you, and that Word begins to come alive. Because you are born again to be made in His image and likeness in a fullness. Paul says you are to grow in fullness of God. In that fullness, and the only way to do that is to allow the Holy Spirit to impart to you the absolute truths that He has for you. You see, we're reading a living, breathing Word that is not just truth, as we think of truth, 2 + 2 = 4, But we're reading a living, breathing word that the Holy Spirit is breathing on as you read it. And He is imparting something in you. He's illuminating something in you. He is revealing something in you that is changing the core of who you are so that you can rightly represent Him on the face of the earth. It's a revelation that brings revolution. And as the church of God, we need to open arms and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Now, I love to listen to other preachers and other teachers, but I've come to a place in my life where I'm saying, God, I love that, but I want You. I want You. I just don't want to hear someone else expound. Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment. One of the ways that you grow or one of the ways that you hear. I ask you tonight, saints, are we feasting on the Word of God? Because it's part of what God's laid on the table. When He's laid a table before you to come into the Holy of Holies, you come into the Holy of Holies by reading the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to develop and break that thing open. You come to the table of the Lord, and He's got the Word broken apart and open for you. You're eating the bread that Jesus was talking about. When He says, unless you eat of My body, and His body, we just read in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? You cannot separate Jesus and the living Word. They're one. Now that blows my mind. I don't understand it. But I know it's true because He said it. And I've witnessed it enough in my own life and in other people's lives. As they get in the Word, man, things begin to change. Their lives begin to change. God begins to radically move. Don't ever leave that foundation. Father, I pray tonight, God, that You would create us in us a hunger, in us a fire that is not satisfied unless we are in the Word of God, that is not satisfied unless we're allowing You to fix the portion and the meal that's set before us, God. Unless we're allowing You to break this bread, God, and give it to us. That we can rightly divide the word of truth, Father, God, to beat off the enemy, but also to be built up and strengthened in You by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us not waver. Let us not waver that the word of God is the truth of God, that it is founded upon the precepts of God before the foundation of the world. That let God be true and every man a liar. No matter what man says, the word is always true. We're always going to stand on it because Scripture says it's true and You say it's true. And the Holy Spirit bears witness in the blood of the Lamb poured out for it that we may be men and women of the word of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Another way that we hear the voice of God is through preaching and through teaching. I encourage you in the moments that you're sitting under somebody preaching and teaching the voice of God, whether it be on your phone, a podcast, when the Holy Spirit sparks something in you, when He is revealing something to you, mark it down. It is a grain that God has given to you to grow. It is a seed that He's planting in you to nurture, to foster. It is a nugget. I call them nuggets. If I'm sitting here and I'm hearing somebody and something stirs in my spirit, I say, mark that down. I don't take a lot of written notes, but I take mental notes. And I'm listening for the Holy Spirit to mark those nuggets and say, God, that's one we're going to look at this week. That's where we're going to be this week. I don't believe that the pulpit's just for a moment. I believe that if the people and men of God have spent the time to pray and seek God for the word that God wants them to bring forth, there's a reason for it. And it's going to edify you and it's going to build you up. The Scripture says, In Romans 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. As the word of God is preached, we're built up. So if we're being built up, we need to make sure that those bricks get formed correctly and properly. We need to harvest what God has put there in that ground. We need to take that gold nugget and we need to make sure that we melt it down and see every element that's in it. We need to take that diamond that's in that coal and we need to knock the coal off and say, Holy Spirit, what were you speaking in this moment? What were you bringing to light in this moment? What were you wanting to do in this moment that it sparked something in my spirit? Holy Spirit, what is it that you're after in me? What are you changing? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to embrace? What do I need to embrace about the Father that is changing the way I look and who I am? I want to encourage you to be so sensitive to those moments in the Holy Spirit. Don't discount them. Don't diss them. Don't dismark them. Don't just let them go by. Don't let, when you're sitting under the Word of God, do not miss it. Do not count it as common. Because you are not sitting in a place where you hear a common Word of God. You are sitting in a place where the men and women of God that are up here have cried out before the Lord, have desired to hear from Him and deliver what He wants. Framing your future with your mouth is a revelation that's coming from Pastor Eddie that is timely. That is, the Holy Spirit is weighted to this moment, out of His own mouth, things He's known in the past, He's bringing back, He's stirring that back up. Because for such a time as this, He's developing that Word. He's filling that Word in. He's bringing a fullness of understanding to Pastor Eddie that we can be partakers in that season. It isn't just for an organization we call Grace House, because Grace House is not just an organization, but it's for the living, breathing body of Christ that the Word is being broken down as a piece of bread before you and presented to you. Don't take that lightly. Take it and eat every morsel and every bit, and don't leave a bit on there. Let the Holy Spirit impart to you everything He wants to you in this time. An example that I have in my life of when I was listening to preaching and when I was a young man, and there was a guy standing up in a Baptist church. You can imagine where he was preaching. Turn right or get left. Turn or burn. Get sanctified or get French fried. That's probably not fair assessment. I don't remember the words that he's preaching. But I remember a stirring in my heart, and I said, Lord, that's what I want to do. And I heard the voice on the other end say, that's what I want you to do. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. That was a setup. I'm not in. That was a thought, and I thought it. And that's when I began to think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, God. And I began to run. And at times begin to get darker and things begin to get darker. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, my call to preach came at that moment. Came at that moment. I've never doubted that in my life. I didn't doubt it then either. I just didn't want to do it. On the flip side, I'm glad I did. Another way we hear the voice of God, we hear the voice of the shepherd, is through the Holy Spirit. You know, the scary part to me sometimes is the Holy Spirit will slip in, whisper something, and you go, wait a minute. Was that the Holy Spirit? He's so subtle sometimes, and He's so quiet. We've got to be listening. I'm going to tell you, saints, He's speaking. And right now He's speaking in ways that we need to be listening. He is whispering in the nighttime. He is singing in the daytime. He is courting you right now in this time at Grace House. to embrace all that He's got for you. He's calling the people up. That's what I see happening. And I've seen other things that I don't even know how to put words to. And I'm like, come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. For such a time as this, I've been waiting. I've been waiting, God. I've been praying. Lord God, come. And even when I hadn't been praying, my heart is desired where I see the Father doing. Even when I didn't know what to ask for, I begin to see God's moving. God's stirring. God's moving on His body. Don't miss it. Embrace it. John says about the Holy Spirit this. In 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you in all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." So that's what He does. That's His main focus, is to bring the things that Jesus has said and taught to our remembrance. Now, you and I didn't walk with Jesus like the disciples did. So we got to get in the Word in order to partake of that Jesus has said. John 16:13-15, He says, "The Spirit of truth comes." Or when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus says, "He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you things that are to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take what is Mine, and He will declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Do not count trite anytime you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mark it in your life." As Jacob wrestled with God, when the Holy Spirit's moving, I'm going to try to touch a hem of His garment. I'm going to say, "I want it all. I want everything You've got for me, Lord. Help my heart posture to be that way." Romans 8:14, Paul put it this way. He said, "For all who led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." The Holy Spirit is revealing the Word of God, whether it be the written Word of God or whether it be the living Rhema Word of God, out of Jesus Christ's mouth for this time, for this day, for this age, for this moment. But let me caution you that He will never contradict the written Word of God. Jesus Himself, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And became flesh and dwelt among us. There's nobody that can be talking about other than Jesus. Do we agree? So if the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus, because Jesus glorifies the Father, because the Father has given Jesus everything He has to declare it, there can be no contradiction, or it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. So either I've misunderstood the Word of God if I've heard something contrary, or I've misunderstood the Holy Spirit, or I'm hearing another spirit. Or I'm in the flesh. I'm going to tell you a story of a lady one time in a church that I was pastoring. We had a lady come through that was in dire need of help. And some of our most precious godly ladies took this lady under their wing. And they begin to pour into her and pour into her. To the point that we begin to say, "Is this healthy?" They're just, it consumed them. And their husbands begin to say, "Wait a minute. This is consuming you in the point that it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for our marriage. It's not healthy for our kids. We've got to set boundaries. So we called and got counsel for the situation that this lady had dealt with in her life. It was very serious. Something very, very few people in life have dealt with, and it was satanic ritual abuse. And we got counsel from people who dealt with this all the time. Godly people that we had connections with. And they said, you have to set boundaries. If they don't stay within the boundaries, then you have to let them go. And so they begin to set boundaries. And before long, what we thought would happen, happened. She rejected them. Said, well, you know, because she couldn't consume that time. And because she couldn't just have everything she wanted, and she was very manipulative. So she left, or so we thought. She just happened to break down in front of one of their other dear sisters' house, who had a heart for ministry and those who were hurting and in need. But shall I say, she wasn't quite in the place where she was ready to take on the responsibility of what she was about to take on. But with a heart of mercy and a heart of grace, we found out about a week later that this lady had moved into this family's home. And me and the pastor said, we need to go talk to them. And we did. And she was very defiant. The lady who was trying to help her, that was a member of her church, was very defiant. She said, this lady needs help. We said, we know she does. And this is what's taking place. And we've offered to put her in contact with people who are way more experienced at this that can help her. And she's refused. Well, her car broke down right in front of my house. That's a sign from God. We said, I'm not sure that was the Lord. I mean, all kind of questions arose. And I sat there at that table, and I felt the Lord say to me, if she continues this, it will cost her family. And so at the end, I said, I'm going to tell you what I heard God say, and it breaks my heart. But I think is you're going to sacrifice your family over this woman. And she said, God forbid, that's not God. I said, I hope you're right. But I had to warn you because I felt so heavy. We walked out of there and the pastor looked at me and he said, you're exactly right. That's what I felt. That's what I sensed. 2 weeks later, she left with this other woman and left her family. So we're ministering to kids that are broken because mom just left. We didn't tell her she couldn't do it. We just advised her that this wasn't a good move. This wasn't good. But she said, I have heard from God. This is what I'm supposed to do. When she left, she said the same thing. I saw her sometime later and I said, I want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. She looked me dead in the eye. She said, stop praying for me. Because she knew I was praying that God would put me in that family. She knew I was for the family because that's what God wanted. I don't know how many years later, but years later, she finally came back to her family. But the turmoil, the devastation that the enemy wrought because someone wasn't willing to receive godly counsel. So my other advice to you is seek godly counsel. In the midst of something that you're not sure, seek godly counsel. Seek God, but seek godly counsel. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and He will challenge you to the very core of your being. He will challenge your pet sins. He will challenge your pet ideas. He will challenge things in you you didn't even know were an issue because you've got something that's standing between you and God and where God wants to move you. But every time I've let go, I've received something that was way more precious than what I thought I was holding on to. Every time I could not see what it was holding me back from. When you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through you, He will challenge you with speaking to people that you didn't know you would speak to, speaking things you didn't know you would speak. When you invite Him to fill you up and work through you, you will no longer be a thermostat that's just flipped by every temperature of every person in the room. But you will become a thermostat. You won't be a thermometer. A thermometer just reads the temperature. But a thermostat is connected to a source of power that can change the atmosphere. You're connected to a source of power that can change the atmosphere where you work, where you live, no matter what your history, no matter what your past, no matter what cycles your family's been through. You're connected to a source of power that once you get in the power of the Holy Spirit through His Word and under the preaching and teaching, and not just sit under it, but begin to dive in after all that God's got and allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, then He begins to speak to you. And as He begins to speak to you, He begins to make you that thermostat. I've walked into situations where there was no peace, there was all discord, where there was nothing in that home but just strife. And you could fill it with a knife. And I said, and this one's going here and this one's going here. I said, let's pray. We got to connect to heaven. Because I don't have any wisdom for you. I'm not going to change this. Only God's going to change what's going on in your marriage, in your relationship, and in this family. If we don't connect to God, no counsel, no wisdom is going to change years and generations of what is taking place. But I stand up here tonight as a testimony that I know God can take generational curses and He can make them a rug under your feet. I stand up here tonight and I say, I know that God can change the course, because with one person in my family, that being my mother, that wouldn't sacrifice on us going to church, she changed a lineage for generations to come. Some of you know and some of you don't, but my brother's also a pastor down in Russellville. Because of her faithfulness, she has two sons who are serving the Lord. Because she wouldn't bend and she wouldn't bow, even though her husband wouldn't come. And she also has a husband who's now a deacon in the church. God will put you in situations when you surrender that won't always be comfortable. Scripture says that all the earth groans for the revelations of the sons of God. I'm going to tell you, saints, that's not just a futuristic passage. There are people right now in your circle of influence that you're going to run into today, tomorrow, next week, that are groaning inside for a revelation of a touch from the living God, and you're carrying it in you because you are the embodiment of Christ, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You've got to stay connected, because the earth is groaning for you to be ready to deliver in the season whatever the Holy Spirit wants to give you, whether that's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, whether that's let me pray for you, how can I pray for you, how can I serve you, an act of kindness, whatever the Lord moves on you to do, do. When I was in Bible college, there was a bar that was kind of famous in that area. This was the latter years of its life. But I knew about it, heard about it, had heard, seen things written about it, talked about it, as I was a Bible student, and I worked right across the road from it. And I went in and I worked by myself, and I made wood projects, shadow boxes, if you know what those are in the old days, made other things. with my hands, with wood. The guy I worked for, that's how he made his living. And I worked there, and one day I walked out to get something out of my car to have a bite to eat. And the Lord said, when you get off, I want you to go in that bar. And I said, God, I've never been in a bar in my life. I've never had a drink in my life. I don't think that's God. You don't want no Baptist boy that's going to a Bible college to go into the bar. What kind of talk is that going to start? Have you lost your mind? There is no way I'm going in a bar. I'm here serving the Lord. That is just the enemy. He's trying to wreck my career, my ministry, my life. This is not God. I go back to cutting wood, and I can't get away from it. I cannot leave it. I said, God, if you want me to go in that bar, you're going to have to show me this, this, and this. So I fleeced him. And I walk out the door, and there's boom, boom, and boom. I was like, oh, God, help me, Jesus. So shaking in my boots, I walk across to that bar, and there's two people in there. And as soon as I step in that door, the lady says, hello, how are you? What can we do for you? Another man sitting at the bar. I said, I'm here to tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he won't let me leave until I tell you who he is. The man went to the bathroom right away. The bartender was captive audience, so I began to pour out my heart and what I felt like Jesus was saying to her. And she said, but you don't understand. I got to have a job. The Lord surely understands that I've got to have a job. I said, he understands. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, he'll give you another job. If this one is hindering his growth in your life, he'll give you another job. She shook her head and she said, I can't do it. I walked out and I prayed for her and I prayed for her and I prayed for her. 2 weeks later, that bar was shut down. I don't know what happened to her. I've never seen her, never met her, never saw her again. But I believe in my heart God was preparing her for that moment. And in that moment of crisis that she turned to the Lord, I just believe that in my heart. I believe God had a way of preparing her. God had a direction and a purpose. And I can tell you stories like that, and you can tell stories like that, where there's been times where you're like, I don't know what to do. I had a young man I was walking with, and I was ministering to, and I was discipling him, and he had a drug problem. And I was praying for him, and a couple other guys I was discipling were praying for him and loving on him, and he got caught doing something he shouldn't. Had to go to court, went to court, had to go to a place for a few weeks. And when he got out, we went to see him. And as I was sitting across from him, I could see his eyes. I could see in his soul. I could see he had a heart so hard that it was stone. I gave him every Bible verse, every bit of counsel, every bit of wisdom, everything I could to make a difference in his life. And I could see, Lord, I said, Lord, I haven't made a difference. I said, God, I'm done. Lord said, it's about time. Now tell him this. I reached across that table. I took his hand. I looked him in the eye and I said, you want to know why I'm here? I said, as much as I think of you and as much as I want to see you set free, God sent me here today to tell you that he loves you and he's never going to give up on you. He broke. He broke. I would like to tell you he never went back, but he had a back and forth thing. But he knew the Lord and he knew where he was supposed to be, and he developed a heart for the Lord. And in the midst of the years that I've seen him and known his Facebook post, watched him, communicated with him, I've seen a young man with an addiction, but I've seen a God that's been faithful and never left him. Never left him. About 2 years ago, he went on to be with the Lord, and I believe he's in heaven. God is a miracle worker. He is a life changer. And the whole earth is groaning for you to allow the Holy Spirit to connect the Word of God to your life, to transform you in image and likeness of Christ. And hear the Word of God and grab onto every nugget that He's given you. And listen to His Spirit and be obedient when He says do something. I can also give you stories of times where I haven't been obedient, okay? So I'm no perfect record here. There's times where I've missed it. And I've grieved the Holy Spirit. And I've had to go and repent. And sometimes I didn't get another chance. But I said, God, send somebody in my place because I missed it. I don't know about you, but right now in my life, I'm in a place I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. As I look at my future and I look at what God is doing, I'm all in. Everything you got, Lord. Every moment, let me be pursuing you. Now, I'll tell you honestly, there's moments where I still get to doing something over here that's just a distraction. It's not something terrible. It's not something bad, wrong. It's not some great sin. It's just a distraction. And the Holy Spirit is beginning to say, do you want to be distracted or do you want to be plugged in? Time's too short. So I want you to pray for me that I won't be distracted. And I'm going to pray for you that you won't be distracted. Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and we just raise our hands before you, God, as the praise and worship team comes, Lord. We just want you to prepare our hearts as the team comes, as the prayer team comes, Lord, we just want to submit to you tonight. We want to say, God, we want you to do all that you want to do. We want you to transform us more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, more, more. As John Baptist said, less of us and more of you, Father. More of you. More of you. It isn't, God, that there's any more of you growing or being created or forming, God, but it's that I'm releasing more of me to receive more of you, that the cup is only filled with your purity and your likeness. God, that's my desire tonight. That, Father, as we sing, as we get ready and prepared, if you need prayer tonight, I want you to come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. Pastor Doc will be glad to pray with you. The folks that are up here will be glad to pray with you. Anything you want, anything you need. Or if there's something stirring in you tonight about this message that God's got for you, you need to repent. You need to say, God, I'm all in. You need to rededicate your life. You need to get saved because you never said yes to the Lord as Lord of your life. Wherever you're at, don't let distractions hold you back from what God wants for you for this moment. Are you all in tonight? I encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to whatever He tells you to do. You can do it there, you can do it here, wherever He says you're to do it. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just release your Holy Spirit. We thank you for moving through us and in us. And God, we just say, come. Come and fill us with the fullness of who you are. We embrace you now, Lord. And Lord, as we prepare, Father, just to end this service, we want to go and be world changers. We want to go, God, and be like the Holy Spirit, sometimes subtle, sometimes with a hand or a touch to change a life. Father God, let your virtue flow from us, Lord, because we're receiving it from you. Thank you so much that you send the Holy Spirit, that you walk with us every step of the way. You never leave us, you never forsake us. If the Lord's speaking to you tonight to come, come. If He's speaking to you about someone else, I'm going to I'm going to be quiet and just let him do whatever he wants. Father, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit tonight. And God, as we dismiss, we say, bless your people, that they may bless others. God, we don't just want to be a source of water that just contains all that you do, but we want to be a river that flows through the land. We want the river of life to flow out of us, that wherever it goes, it brings life. We want to speak life. We want to frame our future with our mouth. But God, we not only want to do that, we want to frame other people's future by speaking what God is speaking into their life. God, you're so good at that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll be dismissed. Bless you.